Another edition of Pittsburgh Pop. Tim Benz, Rob Owen with you. Glad that you're with us after a week off from vacation. Glad to be back at it again with Rob. A 1,800-mile trek up and down the East Coast, international up to Canada, five cities.
Nice.
We do four different states and a province. We crammed in a lot, Rob, but we got it all done, and it was nice and relaxing and quaint and bucolic and all things New England. And good. Now right back at it again. And you've been busy while I've been gone. You can read Rob TV Q&A. You can also see Rob in the Pittsburgh Tribune Review and Trib Live with his TV talk column too. And Rob, we understand that there's been an advance on something that you've written recently. And that was about dueling Night of the Living Dead projects. Is that right?
Yes. So there are kind of sort of maybe dueling projects that will eventually become one project. So what happened is Russ Streiner, who was a co-producer on the original George A. Romero Night of the Living Dead, has long wanted to do something about the making of the film. And he wrote a script for a possible making of thing. But before he wrote that script, he'd been contacted by McCandless native Greg Nicotero and Pittsburgh native Jimmy Miller, who wanted to do their own making of Night of the Living Dead. And they contacted Russ because they wanted to bring him aboard as a consultant. They already had a script. Then Russ and the co-writer of the film of The Night of the Living Dead, John Russo, go off and write their own script and bring it back to Nicotero. And Nicotero's like, but we already have a script. We want you to be consultants. So this is as much as I understand of it. So then I hear from Streiner that he's got a project. And like a day after I talk to him, suddenly it's on deadline that Nicotero and Miller are doing this project. Now, it's one of those things where I hope cooler heads prevail, because obviously Streiner and Russo have the goods. They have the stories. Mm-hmm. They know what happened. They were there. But as far as who has the juice to get a project off the ground and made, that's clearly Nicotero and Miller. They're the ones with the Hollywood connections to make this happen. So hopefully they will come together and work on one project rather than having two dueling projects, because I don't think dueling projects are good for anybody, least of all the viewers. I did hear from Russ Streiner after the story published and said he and Greg had talked and that hopefully these delicate business negotiations can be resolved to everyone's satisfaction. So we just have to put a pin in it and see what happens. But I hope that they are able to work together, because I think that would be the best project of all.
You know who else dealt with this somewhat locally not too long ago was our friend Steve Byrne, who, along with another project, they were both doing dueling biopieces on the amazing Jonathan, the comedian. Oh. And they both came to a head at the same time, and there were all sorts of issues. I'm trying to remember who else movie-wise. Was it the Zodiac Killer? Was it the two Zodiac movies that got released at the same time? Is that another one that's kind of like that?
I'm not sure. I know there have
been multiple. Asteroid movies. Remember,
definitely two asteroid movies destroying the world, Deep Impact and Armageddon. Oh man, there have been some other ones too.
Two shark ones at the same time, as I recall, too, right?
Yeah, although those are kind of evergreen. It's the more specific ones that to me are interesting. I feel like, oh man, there were like two Truman Capote. I think there were two Truman Capote movies that were kind of dueling with one another. So it is not altogether unusual to have this happen. But I think in almost every case, it is better for there to be one that everybody works together on rather than rivals, because one of them's going to win, one of them's going to lose, even if the loser is better than the winner. So
and both of them will suffer because the box office will split.
Exactly. Right.
The,
right.
So everybody paid to each story will be split. The comparisons will be unkind in two directions. Yeah. Yep. I tend to agree with you that it's always best to eat from a larger pie when two little projects try to launch at the same time, but nobody wants to be the one that folds or looks like it's the one that was secondary the whole time. Right. It's an ego thing after a while is what it comes down to.
I think in many cases that is what it is. Yes. Well, so I also think you have to think about it this way. If you are the person who was there and experienced it, you can't be precious about including every single anecdote. You have to kill your darlings. You have to have an editor. You're not going to get in every single little teeny tiny detail. You have to make sacrifices also to make it a compelling story. And I think sometimes when there are people who were there and involved, that can be a challenge. But I think if you go in clear-eyed, understanding that you have to, you know, make some adjustments for the sake of the project, then, you know, I think it'll turn out best for everyone.
Well, speaking of giant projects, big pieces of pie and ego, let's get to the National Football League, who now has figured out yet another way to get more of your money for basically its own content, which is repackaged, repurposed, and resold a million times over in various different ways as it is. But Rob, let's get to NFL Plus, which launched today here on Monday, the NFL's exclusive streaming subscription service. Fans can take their game on the go. NFL Plus offers access to live out-of-market preseason games across all devices, because I know everybody in Pittsburgh wants to watch Falcons-Colts preseason. Live and local primetime regular season and postseason games on mobile devices. Live and local national audio for every game. NFL Network shows on demand. NFL archives. And more. The big thing about this, Rob, in terms of the price, is $39.99 per year. You can upgrade to NFL Plus Premium, which offers all of the features of NFL Plus, as well as full and uncondensed game replays and the coaches, all 22. And they've got, you know, a breakdown of what you can get per price, but it's one-stop shopping for various packaging of NFL games, which I kind of thought existed anyway, but that's the magic of streaming, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I think is key here is the what it doesn't offer. So, for instance, on regular season games, you get access to in-market games via phone and tablet only. So you can't call up an app on your smart TV and watch the game that way, because they already have existing deals there.
Right.
So this is all kind of like trying to pick out and eke out a new revenue stream from the little places where they either don't have deals or have non-exclusive deals or something like that.
Or perhaps better said, it's expanding the revenue stream that already exists, and they're just trying to hold on to it tighter. In other words, if the Steelers are playing on Monday night and the wife is taking you out to the pumpkin patch in the middle of October and you want to stream an out-of-market game, you are now somebody else they can target for revenue and advertising, and they're holding on to you even if you're not there. They're getting you for that extra week. Or if it's an out-of-market game that's prime time, and you're out and about, not in front of your smart TV, and otherwise you wouldn't be watching it. Well, maybe now you can, if you're at the airport, or, you know, you're in an airplane or something like that. It's just another way to show that more people are watching the NFL that otherwise wouldn't, even though they've got astronomical numbers in that regard.
Yeah, and I have no idea how this NFL Plus is going to be rated. I mean, there's probably a way to do that, but I don't even know how much that's going to matter. It's also unclear to me, is this ad supported or not ad supported?
I don't know, but I would imagine if you're watching games live, there will be ads that are in there, either ads
or
that
ad
are in there.
Breaks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or it's more promo time for them to stamp their NFL Network programming into your head.
Right. I guess the league already had Game Pass, a subscription service. Yes. That allowed replays of games after their original live broadcast. So
that's what I didn't understand, was the difference between Game Pass and this NFL Plus. Unless they got rid of Game Pass. Did they get rid of Game Pass entirely?
No, I think that still exists. More ways to dip into your wallet.
The NFL is better at that than any league going, and the NBA ain't bad at it either. Neither actually has college football becoming. They're just following in the footsteps of whatever the NFL does because, well, it's football and it's America, and if it works in one way, it can work in another, college or the pros. It's just how do you divvy up the pie that's already there based on the sponsorship dollars that exist for conferences, for the NCAA, for the NFL, et cetera. I'll give you another sports one that to me is really interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing this one. I was hoping to get to it in the few portions of my trip where we were planning to fly, but we never ended up flying. So I just drove the whole time. And it is hard to stream a movie and drive a car at the same time. So I didn't try to do that. And I do want to see The Great Imposter and Me. It debuted last week on ESPN and ESPN Plus. That's where it's being streamed now. And it's the story about Barry Bremen, who was this guy who crashed the baseball All-Star game, dressed as one of the Yankees. He was playing nine holes at the U.S. Open. He impersonated a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. He got out to the NBA All-Star game, I believe, in Pontiac, Michigan. Like, he did all these things just to make himself famous for pulling off a scam. And then you come to find out that he's the father of 36 people by way of sperm donation.
Oh, boy.
Which is a lot like that. What was that story we found out about, Rob, in the middle of Indiana? Remember that? We were talking about that show on Netflix.
Yeah, there's been some docuseries on similar things. There was even a Fox scripted drama with Timothy Hutton a few years ago that I think it was called Almost Family. It was very bad.
Yeah, the guy who was a doctor when it came to insemination, but he was inseminating his own DNA. And that ended up basically populating a whole town or a whole county somewhere in Indiana. I don't know if it got that bad with Bremen, but I am looking forward to seeing this because he was sort of the male version of Morgana the Kissing Bandit, if your memory can go back that far.
Yeah,
and I have faint recollections of this guy, the late night talk show circuit, but I don't know the full story. I'm not old enough to remember that deep into the 70s, living it live, so to speak. So I'm looking forward to this. I've heard good things about it. I heard it's pretty intriguing. So if people want to watch that, it's on ESPN and ESPN Plus now for E60. It's not the 30 for 30 documentary series. It's the E60 one. All right, Rob, let's get to Billy Porter's Anything Possible and all the Pittsburgh ties associated with that program.
Yeah, that released Friday on Amazon Plus. It's a really cute little teen rom-com. Cis Muslim boy falls for trans girl who goes to Kappa. They don't call it Kappa, but they filmed it at Kappa and in front of Kappa last summer. And, you know, it's just nicely done. It's 90 minutes. It's sweet. It's got some stakes, but they're not super high stakes. Good soundtrack, very capable direction in Billy Porter's hands, and some great shots of Pittsburgh. I mean, there is no question that Billy Porter loves Pittsburgh in this, not just because of the use of the skyline all over the place, but he even has them in a classroom once talking about Pittsburgh's Renaissance and the students are reading about Mayor Caligiuri and Sophie Maslov and Tom Murphy. And it really struck. The only thing that I think that some people will take issue with is the lead characters go to Phipps and then somehow magically get from Phipps to inside the aviary and then back to Phipps all in one visit. But other than that little dramatic license, it's a great movie and a great love letter to Pittsburgh as well.
That's a tough commute. Maybe the escaped Seahawk could tell them how to do it. I believe he took a route, something like that.
Maybe
Speaking of local ties, Billy Gardell was part of one of those secret celebrity renovation shows. Is that right?
Yeah, it's coming up. It was actually, the series was supposed to premiere last week, but it got bumped because of the January 6th committee hearings Thursday night that were in prime time. So now it is premiering this Friday, July 29th at 8 on CBS with the Billy Gardell episode. I talked to him and also to Marianne O'Connell, whose house in Penn Hills they did some renovations to. Rob Mariano from Survivor is among the folks doing some of the work on the project. He's married to Amber Berkich of Beaver County, of course. So that'll be this week's TV Talk column coming up.
So it's an entirely different way to renovate a home, aside from what the January 6th folks were doing to try to renovate the Capitol. Not at all the same thing, just coincidence that it turned out that way.
No, this is a much gentler renovation. Let's put it that way. He also, Billy also does some visits to parts of Pittsburgh. Again, there are some beauty shots, and he takes the show's host, Nichelle Turner, to Kennywood to ride the jackrabbit.
I'm pretty sure Aaron Donald is part of this too, isn't he?
There's also an episode later in the season that features Aaron Donald, correct?
Yes, the Pitt All-American Penn Hills product who has gone on to be the defensive player of the year multiple times in the National Football League and just signed a contract so big he could renovate all of our houses if he really wanted to.
Right.
Last thing, let's get to this, Rob. The lake. What's the local tie with the lake?
Sure. So The Lake is a new Amazon series that premiered earlier this month. It stars, I think his name is Jordan Gervais. I'm not sure I said his last name right, who was on Orphan Black. It's Amazon's first original scripted series, first original scripted Canadian series. But one of the series regulars on it is Jared Scott, who is the son of Lori Hoy, who is a reporter for Channel 11. And Jared's brother, Gabe, is, I believe, a defensive lineman for Pitt currently. So it's Jared's biggest platform to date. I interviewed him a few years ago when he had a show on Facebook Watch. Talked to him again for this show, The Lake, which is a really cute, sweet show. It's kind of like a cross between Schitt's Creek and Gilmore Girls. I haven't had a chance to watch the whole thing, but the episodes I did see, I really enjoyed. And Jared plays a love interest for one of the lead characters.
Funny you bring up Schitt's Creek. The first motel where I stayed on my adventures through the Northeast reminded both Jamie and I of Schitt's Creek, only nowhere near as nice. It was made Schitt's Creek look like a 5-star. Let me put it to you.
Oh, boy. And that's hard to do.
We survived that and off we went to nicer accommodations. But Rob, what else do you have? You mentioned what you got coming up in TV talk. How about TV Q&A?
TV Q&A, someone wants to know how TV reporters are evaluated.
In terms of their content, in terms of their...
I took it to mean in terms of how their bosses evaluate them and whether they're doing a good job or not.
Ah, did you get some honest answers or did you get some BS?
I did not attempt to ask the news directors because I knew they would not respond. So I ran it by some other folks in the business who were able to confirm two of my suspicions and then gave me a third to work with as well.
I bet you get that question in various forums 37, 47 times over as it relates to weathermen and their predictions. Am I right about that?
I have gotten those, but that's yeah.
Or sports guys and our predictions.
As I tell people with weather, it's a forecast, not a guarantee, not a promise. It's a forecast. Let's look at the definition of the word.
Yeah, I had my issues with some Connecticut-based forecasters in the weather, especially those online who were filing forecasts that said 4% chance of rain during Tim's outdoor high school class reunion, and it poured for about 2 hours right before. Luckily, the rain broke and we got it in, but 4% chance of rain anywhere in Connecticut in July is BS. If you ever see that, they're lying. Just understand that. All right. I will be back all week now that we've returned from vacation for Breakfast with Ben's. We'll be filing a lot of stuff from St. Vincent College as training camp has returned. Oh, Rob, local news stuff there. Local news forecasts from Westmoreland County abound. You wait. A lot of folks in Westmoreland County will be getting their weather more than they ever thought they would with training camp in the picture.
Yep, no question about it.
First time in 2 years, Steelers back at St. Vincent College. We'll have reports aplenty over at Breakfast with Ben's. Until next week, this is Pittsburgh Pop with Tim Benz and Rob Owen.